ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। Since today's Balaram's appearance day, we are going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 2nd chapter. The verse that has been written on the board is the text 8. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Shankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Please repeat after me. Within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Shankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty, transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The first plenary expansion of Krishna Baladev, also known as Shesha. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe, and the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Because I am going into the womb of Devaki, the Lord told Yogamaya, the Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now, he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the 6 asuras, the Sadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Sadgarbhasuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, he does not do so. This is explained by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 9, 4 and 5. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadab bhakta murtina matthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu avasthitaha na cha matthani bhutani pashyame yoga vaisharam bhuta bhrinna cha bhutastho mamatma bhuta bhavana. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet, everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. Sarvam Khallidam Brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, everything is not the Supreme Godhead, and He is not everywhere. Everything rests upon Him, and yet does not rest upon Him. This can be explained only through the Achinta Bhedavid philosophy. Such truths can be understood, however, unless the such truth cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee. For the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktiya mam abhijanati javan jashchashmi tattataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. Even though the Lord cannot be understood by ordinary person, this principle should be understood from the statements of the Shastras. A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 different procedures of bhakti. Bhakti yoga, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu. Jai Shri Shri Radha Golokan Gokulananda Ki. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Jai Shri Shri Baladev Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki. Shri Balaram Abhidhab Tithi Maha Mahattava Ki. Shankarshan Baladev Ki. Gaur Premananda Ki. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakham Atmani Vedanam. Thus situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Yet a devotee always fears, because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association, and in this way all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Sadgarbha asuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind, Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has 6 sons: Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moho, Mad, and Matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhakti Revainam Darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti, and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the 6 sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination, within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus, the 7th pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the 6 sons, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mad, and Matsarya, are killed, the Shesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. This is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Devakya jathare garbham sheshakham dhamo mamakam Tat sannikrishya rohinya udare sannideshaya. Om agyanati nirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasman shri gurave namaha. Shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamaiham dadati svapadantikam. Bande aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Shagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Vam Shadivam sādvaitaṁ śābhudhūtaṁ parijana sahitaṁ krishna caitanya devaṁ śrī rādhā krishna padāṁ śakugana lalitā śrī viśākhānitaṁ ca. He krishna karuna sindhu dīna bandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kānta rādhā kānta namastute tapta kāñcana gaurāṅgī Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vrishabhanu Shute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Bancha Kalpatarubhascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha, Patitana Pavanibho, Vaishnavibho. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shivashadu Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, this description has been given about how Balaram appeared in the womb of Mother Devaki before Krishna's appearance. Actually, Balaram makes all the arrangements for Krishna's service. All the paraphernalia for Krishna's pleasure and Krishna's comfort are expansion of Balaram. So, when Krishna was about to appear, Balaram went to the womb of, entered in the womb of Mother Devaki and made all the arrangements in the womb. Krishna's bed, Krishna's other necessary paraphernalia. We can see how Balaram actually expands. As Krishna expands, Balaram expands. When Krishna expands himself as Vasudev, Balaram expands himself as Shankarshan. When Krishna expands as Vishnu, then Balaram expands as Anantashesh. And as Anantashesh, we can see that he becomes Krishna's bed. And not only Krishna's bed, actually all the paraphernalia for Krishna's pleasure are expansions of Balaram. All our aratic paraphernalia are expansions of Krishna, expansions of Balaram. A chamar is an expansion of Balaram, the bell is an expansion of Balaram, the pradeep is an expansion of Balaram. In this way, we can understand that everything in relation to Krishna is spiritual. Although apparently it may seem that chamara is just something that we bought on the market, or the bells and the pradeep, even the incense sticks, they all are actually extensions of Balaram. They are all spiritual. Similarly, the temple room, the altar, everything is expansion of Balaram. Therefore, when we install Krishna's, when we start constructing Krishna's temple, who goes underground first? Anantashesh. The installation of Anantashesh actually takes place, because it is Balaram, Anantashesh, who is going to expand himself as Krishna. And at the very beginning of the purport, Prabhupada is saying, the first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladeva, who is also known as Shesha. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adi Purusha. And that original Supreme Personality of Godhead first expands as Balarama. And then further expansions take place. Adi Chaturbhuha, the original Chaturbhuha,
of Dwarka, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pratumna and Aniruddha. And in this Chaturbhuha, Shankarshan is the original expansion of Balaram. Then with Narayans also there are Chaturbhuhas. Then as Krishna expands, Balaram also expands simultaneously. And Prabhupada mentions here that why Balaram entered into the womb of Devaki, quoting Krishna's statement from Srimad Bhagavatam. Because I am going to the womb of Devaki, the Lord told Yogamaya. The Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now I should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. Similarly, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then also Balaram comes with him as Prabhu. So, while describing who Nityananda is, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a very wonderful explanation in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll just read the translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. They are both one and the same identity. They differ only in form. He is the first bodily expansion of Krishna and he assists in Krishna's transcendental pastime. That original Lord Krishna appeared in Navadvip as Lord Chaitanya and Balaram appeared with him as Lord Nityananda. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance. Shankarshan, Sheshnath and the Vishnus who lie on the Karana ocean, Garbha ocean and the ocean of milk are his plenary portion and the portions of his plenary portion. Lord Balaram is the original Shankarshan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna and he does the work of creation in four other forms. He executes the order of Lord Krishna in the work of creation and in the form of Lord Shesha. He serves Krishna in various ways. In all the forms, he tests the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. That same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Lord Gaurisundar. So in this way, Balaram's identity as non-different from Sri Nityananda Prabhu has been established. In Krishna's pastime, Balaram is assisting him in all respects. Balaram is Krishna's elder brother and today is the day when Lord Balaram appeared. Before Krishna's appearance, Balaram entered in the womb of Devaki and then he was transferred from the womb of Devaki into the womb of Rohini. For 7 months, Balaram remained in the womb of Devaki and then he was transferred into the womb of Mother Rohini. And apparently, everyone thought, less intelligent people thought, that Mother Devaki had a miscarriage and the seventh child was lost. But actually the seventh child was none other than Balaram himself, who was transferred in the womb of Mother Rohini. And in the purport, Prabhupada pointed out that Mother Rohini is the original mother of Balaram. In Krishna's pastime, Balaram plays a very, very wonderful role
In Krishna's pastime, we see that Balaram is the leader of all the cowherd boys. He is the original leader of all the cowherd boys, and he has 12 principal assistants, those who are known as Dwadash Gopal, or 12 Gopals. And in this way, all the other cowherd boys belong to these 12 groups. And Balaram is the original spiritual master. In order to approach Krishna, one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who is a representative of Balaram. Because Balaram is the original spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur pointed out that in his Krishna Samhita, he wrote a very wonderful book called Krishna Samhita. And in Krishna Samhita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur pointed out that different demons are actually different unearthas that living entities have. And most of these unearthas are actually killed by Krishna himself. But two principal unearthas are killed by Balaram. In Krishna's pastime, two demons were killed by Balaram himself. One is a Dhenukasur, and the other one is Solambasur. So Dhenuka Asura, he pointed out, Dhenuka Asura is an ass demon. And the ass is famous for its stupidity. And what was Dhenuka Asura doing? Dhenuka Asura was guarding, was protecting the Talvan, the forest of tal trees. And that forest was full of tal fruits. And Dhenukasura, he was just watching that no one can take this, no one can eat this fruit. He was simply guarding this tal fruit. So, the materialistic people, what they usually do, they very carefully guard or very stupidly, they guard the fruits of their activity. They simply want to enjoy the fruits of their activity. But then Balaram came, and with his mighty arms, he grabbed the tree and started to shake it. And as a result of that, all the fruits started to fall off. And then Dhenukasura, the ass demon, came trying to stop Balaram or even try to kill Balaram and Krishna. But then Balaram actually killed him. So that's the first thing the spiritual master does. A materialistic person is very asinine, like an ass. And their asinine activity is that they simply want to carry the burden of the fruits of their activity. They don't want to get rid of the fruit. They don't want anyone to have that fruit, what to speak of Krishna. But actually the ultimate perfection of one's activity is in offering the fruits of his activity to Krishna. But the spiritual master comes and kills that ass demon and teaches the living entity how to offer the fruits of his activities to Krishna. Jat karosi jagasnasi, jat juhasi dadasi jat, jat tapushoshi komteya, tat kurusha madarpana. This instruction of Krishna is perfectly taught by the spiritual master. Another demon, Pralambasur. Pralambasur signifies deception. Pralambasu, although he is a demon, he came as a cowherd boy, hiding his identity. And what was the purpose? He pretended to be a friend of Krishna. But actually, why he came? He came to kill Krishna. So the personification of deception, or the personification of deception demon. And then Balaram knew, and he killed him. He allowed Pralambasu to carry him. He actually accepted defeat. The condition was that whoever is the loser will have to carry the winner on his back. And Pralambasu thought that if he can kill Balaram, then Krishna will become powerless. Therefore his target was Balaram, not Krishna. And he was defeated. Balaram willingly accept defeat. And as a result of that, he was carrying Pralambasu. Pralambasu actually accepted defeat in order to carry Balaram, and he was taking Balaram away. But Balaram, just with a small little thumb on his head with his teeth, made his life a lizard body. So in this way, the spiritual master takes care of the disciple's initial unearthed in surrendering to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also makes a very nice point about the Satgarbhas, that the six sons that appeared in the womb of Mother Devaki are symbolically represented by the six enemies of ourselves, the six asuras. Although they appeared in the womb of Mother Devaki, but they are actually demons. And who are those demons? Lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride and envy. And Prabhupada is pointing out how they were actually killed by Kamsa. Kamsa is the fear of materialistic way of life. A devotee becomes afraid, and Mother Devaki is the personification of devotion. So devotion, when one becomes a devotee, when one accepts Krishna consciousness, or when one decides to become a devotee, he realizes the very, very difficult the situation of this material nature. And he lives in constant fear, just as Devaki was living out of constant fear of Kamsa. A devotee's constant fear is that he doesn't fall down. A devotee should never think that now I have become a devotee, now I'm advanced, I'm such a big devotee, I'm not going to fall down. Actually, that is a very, very dangerous mentality. On the other hand, devotee should always be in fear and must always pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Krishna, please save me from this dangerous situation. And Narottam Das Thakur is saying that when there is such fear, one should actually pray to the devotees of Krishna. Because devotees of Krishna are more merciful, and the devotees of Krishna are always there to help us out. And we shouldn't think that we should think of the devotees only the big devotees. No, actually, in order to remain safe from this dangerous possibility of falling down again in this material world, one should constantly remain in the association of devotees. And when one remains in the association of devotees, then he is safe. Although he may be very weak spiritually, but if he just remains in the association of devotees, he is safe. And we notice that although some devotees are not very strong, but because they are in the association of devotees, they are continuing in Krishna consciousness year after year. Whereas some very powerful, very strong devotees, very strong sannyasis, as soon as they go away from the association of devotees, they fall down. It may take them some time, but ultimately we have seen that they have fallen down into the lap of, straight into the lap of mind. So devotee is always in fear of falling down from the platform of Krishna consciousness onto the lap of mind. Therefore he always prays to Krishna and prays to his spiritual master, prays to the other devotees and seeks for their help. Ekaki amar nahi pai bol Hari Naam Sankirtan. Alone I do not have any strength to remain in Krishna consciousness. I do not have any strength to chant the holy name of the Lord. But O Vaishnava Thakur, very mercifully you give me a drop of faith so that I can maintain my Krishna consciousness. Please allow me to be with the devotees all the time, to chant the holy name congregationally. Therefore, in this age, the process is congregational, collective. It is not a individual, singular endeavor of spiritual advancement. It's a collective endeavor. doesn't matter how strong or how weak we are, we should just remain and try to move forward towards the spiritual sky collectively. Those who are more advanced, they will help others to move forward, and they are going to help the weaker ones to move forward. They are not going to use their energy, or they are not going to use their advanced situation to shoot ahead, but they are going to remain together and help others, the weaker ones, to come forward. And in this way, this Krishna consciousness is a collective march forward towards the spiritual sky. So, devotees are always very, very afraid of falling down. And therefore, they always make it a point to be in the association of devotees. And when one is in the association of devotees, then he is safe. Why? Because although the material energy, Maya, is Krishna's energy, therefore very, very strong, but the association of devotees is even stronger than Maya. Why? Because Maya is Krishna's external energy, whereas the association of devotees is Krishna's internal energy. And that internal energy of Krishna is stronger than Maya. So if we remain in the association of devotees, even if we are in the association of one or two devotees, we are safe. And we can see in our practical life also, in our day-to-day affairs, when we are alone, Maya can bewilder us so easily. But if there is someone with us, even though the devotee may be a new bhakta, but if he sees that we are deviating, then he'll say, what are you doing? You are not supposed to do it. And this is how a devotee always protects us. So we are safe even if we are in the association of one devotee. And to be in the association of devotees means to be submissive to him. You shouldn't think, oh, he is just a new bhakta, I am a sannyasi. I can do whatever I want. Who is he to tell me anything? Then we'll be in trouble. But we should always be concerned that any moment we may fall down. And if somebody gives us some good advice, let's take it. We must be prepared to take it, and then we'll be made safe. After all, the standard has been given by Srila Prabhupada. The standard is, we must follow the four regulative principles and chant minimum 16 rounds. And that's actually the condition that Srila Prabhupada made to remain in his convent. That's the price we have to pay to remain in his convent. And that's the austerity we have to perform to remain in his convent. Minimum 16 rounds every day and chant it and follow the four regulative principles. And if we just follow these, follow this standard, then we'll be safe. And then what will happen? These six demons of lust, greed, anger, pride, illusion and envy will be killed by Krishna in due course of time. Who will kill? The fear of falling down in the material platform. And when these six demons are killed, then Balaram will appear in our heart. And he'll make all the arrangements for Krishna. And then Krishna himself will appear in our heart. So today is Balaram's appearance day. It's a very special day. Balaram appeared on this earth planet. Balaram appeared for us so that we can take advantage of his appearance and become devotees of Krishna. So the real way of celebrating Balaram's appearance day today is by resolving to take full advantage of Balaram's mercy. Balaram is very, very merciful. We see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful, the most munificent of all appearances of the Lord, Mahavadanya. But Balaram is even more munificent. How? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to kill Jagai and Madhai. But Balaram stopped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, begged for Jagai and Madhai's life. And because Nityananda Prabhu wanted, because Nityananda Prabhu wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to forgive them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spared their lives. And then Nityananda Prabhu accepted Jagai and Madhai. He, although Jagai and Madhai were extremely sinful, and on top of that, offensive to Nityananda Prabhu. Jagai and Madhai actually hit Nityananda Prabhu with a broken end of a pitcher. And that pitcher also was for carrying wine. Wine, not a bottle, but a clay pot. And he hit Nityananda Prabhu. Apparently Nityananda Prabhu was bleeding. So he was so offensive, but Nityananda Prabhu did not care about that offense to them. This not only saved them, saved their lives, but accepted them as his disciples. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu is bestowing his mercy to the living entity. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu is representative, the spiritual masters, the bona fide spiritual masters, are bestowing their mercy upon the living entity. And if we properly take advantage of their mercy,
then making progress in spiritual life will become quite easy.
Jai Shankarshan Baladev Ki, Jai Krishna Balarama Ki, Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki, Jai Balaram Gatiyarante Ki, Jai Sri Nityananda Rama Ki.
I also just wanted to mention, just remembered, the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu has been described that Nityananda Prabhu was going from door to door. He was approaching everyone. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu to go from door to door and ask everybody to accept Krishna consciousness, to chant the holy name. And Nityananda Prabhu used to go from door to door. And this has been described by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Nityananda Prabhu used to tell people, Yatheshtam re bhrato kuru hori hori dhano manisham tato va samsaram budhi tarano dayo mani lagit idam bahu sphotai ratati ratayam ja prati kriham bhaja nityanandam bhaja na prabhu kandam nilagati. He used to just tell people, Yatheshtam re bhrato kuru hori hori dhano manisham. Brothers, just chant the name of Hari. Just chant the name of Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then tato va samsaram budhi tarano dayo mani lagit. Then I will become responsible to deliver you from this ocean of material nature. Bhavam budhi. Tato va samsaram budhi tarano dayo mani lagit. I will become responsible. You simply chant Hare Krishna and I will take responsibility to take you back to God. And idam bahus photoi rotati rotayam le pratigrihan. With his arms raised upwards, he used to go from door to door and he used to appeal to them. And this has been translated into Bengali in an even more elaborate way. It has been said, ato boli nityanando akrodho paramanando nityanando rai Ohiman Shunna Nitai Nagore Varaya. Nityananda Prabhu, who is free from anger, completely free from anger, akrodha, and Paramananda, always very blissful. Nityananda Raya. Nityananda Prabhu was so blissful that he often people used to think that he was mad. His activities were so unpredictable due to his Krishna Premananda. And Obhiman Shunna, and he is completely free from pride. Nagore Varai. He roams around in the city of Nagore. And Jare Dakhe Tare Kahe Dante Srimad Hari Amare Kiniya Lahu Bhajo Gaura Hari. Whoever he sees, he appeals to him very humbly with a straw in his mouth. Nityananda Prabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is playing like that. Like with a straw in his mouth, he is very humbly begging to everyone. Amare kiniya laho bhajo gaura hari. You just serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga, Gaurdhan. And with that price, you buy me. So Nityananda Prabhu is making an offer that you buy me up with the price of becoming a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ato boli nityananda dhume gori jaya shonar parbot jana dhulata vidhaya. Saying that, Nityananda Prabhu is to roll on the ground, roll in the dust. And it is to appear as if a golden mountain is rolling in the dust. Because Nityananda Prabhu had a huge body and his complexion was golden. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram, is bestowing his mercy upon the living entity. So today is his appearance day, and our prayer should be that he appears in our hearts so that we can receive Krishna properly in our hearts. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any comment or question? Yes.
Thinking how
Really take shelter of Krishna and Balaram, then all the demons of Anartha, all the demons of Anartha will be killed by them. Like as I said, like Balaram will take care of Dhenukasura and Pralambasura, and Krishna will take care of Aghasura, Bakasura, etc. So it's a sincere surrender to the spiritual master, sincere surrender to Krishna Balaram. We take care, and at the same time we have to be in constant fear of Kamsa, the fear of material existence. And he will take care of lust, greed, anger. They are the initial impediments to spiritual life. Lust, greed, anger, because as long as they are there, Balaram, the spiritual master, will not really manifest in the heart. Self-deception. Trying to pretend what we are actually not, and trying to kill Krishna. Actually, our original identity is to become a devotee of Krishna, become a servant of Krishna. But instead, we are deceiving ourselves instead of becoming a servant of Krishna, to get rid of Krishna. And yes, it will go simultaneously. Like in one hand we should be afraid of the material nature, and at the same time we should be confident that Krishna will give us. Krishna will fear. That Abhay is another name of Krishna. Abhay Charan is Krishna's lotus feet. He is the giver of fearlessness. Of any fear, yes, Krishna's lotus feet is called Abhay Charan, that it frees us from all fear. All kinds of fear. And generally our fears are in material platform. And the ultimate fear is death, the fear of death. Swayam bhayam, jad vidheti swayam bhayam. Yeah, so that has been explained through this verse, you can say. The jad vidheti swayam bhayam. That even fear personified is afraid of Krishna. Therefore, when one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he becomes free from all fear. Okay. Yes, Hare Krishna. Yeah, Krishna is the origin of everything, and Krishna is the origin of all mellows also. So all the mellows are also originating from Krishna, and mellow means relationship, and the relationship means different individuals, and that's why, in order to relish those mellows, Krishna makes different devotees play certain roles. It is obviously Krishna, Balaram is not Krishna's elder brother in a way that we know of elder brothers. It's not a material concept. Like Balaram is Krishna's first expansion. So it's not that Balaram was before and then Krishna came. Krishna is the origin of everything, but Krishna's first expansion plays the role of his elder brother. Balaram is the origin of Yogamaya. And Yogamaya is actually Balaram's potency. I'll just check it. Is my partial plenary expansion? Shesha Akhyam. If you look at the Sanskrit, the Prabhupada used in translation of two Sanskrit words, Prabhupada used the plenary expansion. Like Shesha Akhyam, known as Shesha, the plenary expansion of Krishna. And Dhamma, Prabhupada also translated as plenary expansion. Dhamma. So here Prabhupada is saying plenary expansion, partial, I don't know, like in translation Prabhupada used the word partial. But one thing that I just considered here, like, you see, the son of Devaki is not the original Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Right? Brajendranandan Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God. Son of Devaki is the mother of Vasudev Krishna. Not Adipurush, Brajendranandan Krishna. Therefore, here the appearance of Balaram is the appearance of Shankarshan. And that Shankarshan is not the Amsa, but Kala, the expansion of expansion. Therefore, Prabhupada, in order to identify that, probably Prabhupada used the word partial plenary expansion. Partial means expansion of the expansion. Like Amsa and Kala. Amsa means direct expansion from Krishna, and Kala means expansion of the expansion of Krishna, or further down. So in order to indicate that he is a Kala incarnation, Prabhupada says partial incarnation, the partial plenary expansion. Yes, Adhikarthakam. I'll take that, that's the last question, last two questions I'll take. In what way, in the sense, I mean, you mean, in some cases Krishna himself becomes, he himself becomes the spiritual master. Like in the case of Arjuna, also in life in the case of Brahma. But then also there is another consideration that there are two considerations. One is Krishna also has Balaram in him, since he's the origin of all the incarnations. Balaram is also there. The Bhagavad Gita that was spoken could have been spoken by the Balaram aspect of Krishna. Just as So when Krishna kills the demons, Krishna doesn't kill the demons. It's Vishnu that kills the demons. Vishnu and Krishna kills the demons. That's one consideration. Another consideration is that these expansions, the Vishnu expansion, are actually Balaram expansion. As Prabhupada pointed out in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that these three Vishnu expansions are actually expansions of Karmadaksha Vishnu. I mean Balaram Shankarsha. But I think it's better to just accept as Krishna can directly impart the knowledge onto Sampada. That's a very special mercy of Krishna. Right? But ordinary living entities are not entitled to that kind of mercy. The ordinary living entities have to go via spiritual knowledge. But in some cases, Krishna directly can impart the knowledge. As in case of Devashan, as in case of Arjuna, as in case of Brahma.
I just
want to
do it here about Balaram being the original spiritual master, never really hear, who he instructed or whatever else. But also, maybe the spiritual master and expansion of Balaram.
The role that the spiritual master plays is the role of a representative of Balaram. In this respect, there is another very nice example. You see, Raghunath Das Goswami, when he approached, first he approached Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him back to his home. And then when Raghunath Das Goswami met Nityananda Prabhu, the Nityananda Prabhu wanted to give him punishment. That is the Danda Mahotsava, Chiravai festival. Now the question is, for what crime he was being punished? The crime was that he directly approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the property of Nityananda Prabhu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the property of the spiritual master, and through the spiritual master one receives the Supreme Personality of God. One cannot directly approach the Supreme Personality of God. And that was the punishment. And then when Raghunath Das Goswami received the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, and then when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him. In this way Mahaprabhu pointed out that Hano Nitai Dine Bhai Radha Krishna Paitana. Without this Nityananda, one cannot get Radha Krishna, and that Radha Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we must approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Radha Krishna through the spiritual. That is our position. But in some case, Krishna may directly bestow his mercy. Your last question I'll take here.
Whereas the devotee actually is giving up all these things, like family, material actions, and also not thinking of material security for the future. So it's of the comparison. One is actually trying to maintain something, and the other is actually giving up. Even death is accepted as a sacrifice in a way. So, how does the devotee actually come to this kind of realization, thereby one becomes sinner?
Well, the first consideration is knowledge. being aware of what is what. For example, as you're saying, a materialistic person tries to make all kinds of arrangements for his security, right? I mean, what to speak of pension, you know, like people stack up, you know, millions of dollars in the bank, right? But can his millions of pounds save him from birth, death, old age and disease? Can these millions of dollars save him from adhi atmik, adhi bhautik and adhi daivik kleshas? No. Whereas a devotee knows that first of all he has taken shelter of Krishna. So Krishna will protect him always. If he remains fixed up, if he remains loyal to Krishna's lotus feet, then Krishna will protect him under all circumstances. Bhakshimad Bhagavatam is full of such examples. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, so many. The cowherd boys in Vrindavan. Like, in this way everyone is being protected. All the devotees are being protected by Krishna under all circumstances. The devotee knows that Krishna will give protection. And devotee's attitude is that if something good happens to him, then it's Krishna's mercy. And when something bad happens to him, it's his karma. So he knows that even if something bad happens, it's not that because he became a devotee, nothing bad is going to happen, or he's not going to die, so on and so forth, or he's not going to get diseased. But he knows that because he has taken shelter of Krishna, like, his karma has been reduced considerably, and whatever is happening is just some residues of his karma. For example, when he cuts his finger, he feels that actually his whole hand was supposed to get chopped off. And because he has taken shelter of Krishna, just there has been a little scratch in his finger. So in this way, a devotee considers, devotee is very optimistic about protection of Krishna and his position in spiritual platform. And ultimately, you see, when we take shelter of Krishna, we can see how Krishna does give us protection. So obviously there is a difference between a materialistic thinking and the spiritual, devotional thinking. It's actually diametrically opposed. A materialistic person, no matter how much he gets, he always thinks that he didn't get enough. And a devotee, no matter how little he gets, he always feels, oh, Krishna is so merciful. I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Balaram ki. Lord Balaram's appearance day celebration ki. All glories to that simple devotee. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki.